I want us to embark on a journey of self-examination and surrender. Surrender before our Creator, surrendering before our Lord, our God. When we surrender, that's when real transformation can come into our lives. In Psalm 139, verses 23 to 24, King David says this: "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Point out anything in me that offends you, and lead me along the path of eternal life." As we explore the timeless truth of God's word, the whole of the Bible is inspired and good for teaching and helping us to grow closer to the Lord. But there are those times when we need to ask God to help us to examine ourselves, that we might know, that we might perhaps see ourselves as He sees us. And I'm sure in our lives, as much as we would rather it were different, there are those times when we do things that does offend God. We're not perfect. God doesn't expect us to be perfect. That's why He had to send His Son to die for us. But it shouldn't stop us from trying to be more Christ-like. It shouldn't stop us from trying to be more like the people that God has called us to be. We know that our salvation is certain. We know that when we come to Jesus as Lord and Saviour, that we are truly saved. But we can have an easier journey in some ways when we walk closely with God, when we stick to the path that He has laid out for us, when we are the people that He's called us to be. 3 points I want us to examine this evening: inviting God's examination, embracing God's correction, and pursuing God's path. Psalm 139, verse 23, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts." Do you ever get anxious? Other than when you're playing in a key that's different from what everyone's expecting. Yeah. Just be thankful that everything we go through now is a dress rehearsal for when we're actually in glory. Then whatever heavenly instruments we're given will always play the right note. Whatever vocal we praise our Lord and Saviour with will be in the right key. We won't need to worry anymore. But right now, we get anxious. Probably be something odd if we didn't get anxious. I remember my nan used to say to me, "If you see someone who's always got a smile on their face, they've got no idea what's going on." And that's kind of been true as I've gone through life. I've met some people who smile in the face of adversity. I've met some people who smile no matter what is going on around them. Those people were highly medicated, of course, but...
I'm just not going to admit to playing the piano. That was a mistake I made when I came here.
Yeah, yeah. I remember when I first came here and Dave found out that I preached. And he booked me. I remember Father's Day, 2008, I preached my first sermon here. And it was on what Jairus' daughter thought of her father. And I sat down after it and I thought, "Oh, that's it. It's never going to ask me again." And he got his diary out. And Keith got his diary out and booked me for Rayleigh. And suddenly I had weeks of bookings. I never expected that. But it brought a smile on my face because it's obvious that God was speaking. There are times when we do need to listen for God's voice. When God says He wants to lead us in a certain direction, we have to be listening. Sometimes He'll just whisper. Sometimes He'll shout. Sometimes it could be literally fire from heaven that falls to show us the path that we need to go down. But here, David comes with a heartfelt plea. And he expresses his desire for divine scrutiny and for purification. He wants God to point out what it is that's wrong in his life. It's like he's saying to God, "Explore every corner, pick up every mat, find anywhere that's dusty or dirty or wrong, and let me know." And David acknowledges that it's only God that can truly discern his motives and his thoughts. I've met some people over the years that seem to have wonderful motives to do certain things. And I've met others that do things silently behind the scenes. Their motive is actually that no one will notice what they're doing because they want to take no glory from themselves. And King David was one who experienced glory in battle. In various circumstances, he went out and in the younger days fought giants and then won many battles. And when he returned after these battles, he would have ridden triumphantly in to the cheers, the praise, the thanks of everyone around him. David is often described as a man after God's own heart. Yet if you read about David in the Old Testament, you'll see there seems to be some times when he was far away from the purposes of God in his life. But this is one of those times when he recognizes the need for inner transformation in his life. He recognizes that he needs to be humbled before the Lord, that he needs to be open before God. Now, God already knows everything, but David knows he needs to be transparent. He needs to actually admit to certain things. He's worried that there's more bubbling beneath the surface that even he is not aware of, which is why he wants the Lord to examine him. And in just the same way, we are called to invite Jesus in to examine us, to deal with the depths of our souls, to allow the Holy Spirit to reveal any area in our lives that hinders our relationship with God. It could be something simple. It could be that we don't set the alarm early enough in the morning to actually have a quiet time before we go out to work. It could be that we get to the end of our day and we're so tired that we think, oh, Lord, I haven't got time to pray. It could be something simple that actually creates a barrier to us spending time with the Lord, opening our heart to him, worshipping him, loving him as he loves us. James 4 verse 8 says, come close to God and God will come close to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, purify your hearts, for your loyalty is divided between God and the world. Maybe David's talking about himself. Maybe that's not something that ever happens to us. Maybe we don't allow our loyalty to be divided. I'm sure on every occasion, I'm sorry to pick on you, Maureen, but you are in the front row. I'm sure on every occasion possible, Maureen will pick up her Bible rather than a cello music book. No matter what, wakes up in the middle of the night and...
I don't play the cello in the middle of the night.
Exactly, that proves my point. Each of us has something that we can allow to get in the way, that we can allow to actually take more prominence or more importance in our lives than it should. When we come close to God, when we fix our eyes on him, when we are focused on him and him alone, we shouldn't be distracted by anything. And we're all sinners. That's how we're born. Unfortunately, thanks to Adam and Eve, we've inherited the curse. But Jesus came to set us free from that curse. Jesus came to free us from the bondage of sin. And there will be times we mess up. There will be times when we get it wrong. There will be times when we do need to seek to purify ourselves before God. Symbolically, the washing of hands is an outward thing, but we need to be cleansed from within. We need transformed hearts. We need transformed minds. We need to walk the path that God has laid out for us. Our loyalty should not be divided between God and the things of this world. When was the last time you examined yourself? When was the last time that with humility you approached the throne of grace, the throne of mercy, and asked God to reveal to you anything that was a barrier to your relationship with him? It's only through genuine surrender to Jesus that we can really experience the closeness, the restoration, the blessing that God offers to those who are devoted to him. And he asks for our devotion, not to come to him with a divided heart, but to come to him with full adoration, to come to him and praise him for who he is, to be thankful for what he's done and what he continues to do in our lives every day. And when he points out to us what's wrong, that's when we need to embrace God's correction. That's the second point from Psalm 139, verse 24, where it says, point out anything in me that offends you and lead me along the path of everlasting life. King David's request here for God to reveal any offensive way in him demonstrates a readiness to actually receive correction, to receive guidance. He acknowledges that there are certain aspects of his life that may grieve God and hinder fellowship with him. He's humble before God and he's also willing to be teachable. And we need to be willing to be teachable too. That's how we grow in spiritual maturity. That's how we grow in faith, by allowing God, by allowing the Holy Spirit to actually teach us and shape us and mould us, to conform us into the image of Christ. Instead of resisting God's correction, we have to embrace the opportunity. It's an opportunity for change. It's an opportunity for refinement. It's an opportunity for transformation. God is able to move. God is able to work in our hearts to change us and transform us. I'm always reminded of the Beatitude where Jesus says, or in the English translation, Jesus says, "Blessed are the pure in heart." And I used to read that verse and think, oh, well, that doesn't refer to me, does it? I'm not pure in heart. But when you actually dig into the Greek and actually see what it says, the word that Jesus uses there is katharos, which means being purified. So Jesus says, blessed are those who are being purified. I'm sure that's something that we can identify with far more than blessed are the pure in heart. Suddenly it's attainable. Suddenly it's actually referring to us and not Andrea in the back row who's already pure and perfect. It's referring to me. I am being purified. You're being purified by circumstances, by situations, by prayer, by supplication, by everything that happens. God is working in us and through us. Proverbs 3:11 and 12 says, "My child, don't reject the Lord's discipline and don't be upset when he corrects you. For the Lord corrects those he loves, just as a father corrects a child in whom he delights." I was thinking about this verse and thinking about my own journey of fatherhood and now grandfatherhood. Gosh, I'm older than I look, aren't I? Or maybe I look older. No, anyway. I never had a role model. I never had a loving father. I never had a real idea of what it was to be brought up in a way where a father would lovingly correct me. But I know that my Heavenly Father does work in my life. I know that when I need correcting, when I need turning in a different direction, when I'm oblivious to what it is that God is saying to me, that my Father does correct, that my Heavenly Father does lead, that my Heavenly Father does guide, and he delights in me, just as he delights in you. And this verse from Proverbs, it offers us valuable insight into how God disciplines and corrects. The author here is likely Solomon. He presents a fatherly perspective, encouraging us to embrace divine correction rather than resenting it. And his emphasis here is that God's discipline stems from love. Love for his children, mirroring the discipline of a caring father towards his beloved child. Do you realise that you're beloved this evening? Do you realise that God loves you so much that he was willing to send his son to die in your place, so that you could be free from the burden of sin, so that you could be given the gift of eternal life, all because of what Jesus has done? Often when God moves in our lives, corrects us, redirects us, it's because he always knows what is right for us. In my own life, I've been made redundant 3 times, and each time God has actually used that redundancy to put me where he needed to be. The last time I was made redundant, God brought me here to full-time ministry, something that I never expected to happen when it did. And I was talking to Megan about this the other evening, actually. I said how when I was unemployed last time, I applied for over 500 jobs. And God said no to every single one of those, because his purpose and his plan was for me to be here and not out there somewhere. But I was too stubborn to actually hear the voice of God. I was too stubborn to believe that God would take me so far away from what I knew, when actually I should have trusted that he would take me to where he needed me to be. And maybe in your own life, there's been those times where the still small voice has spoken and you've ignored it. Maybe there's been those times when God has actually shouted at you and you've still ignored it. But we have to listen. We have to trust. We have to be the people that God has called us to be. Don't reject the Lord's discipline. Don't be upset when he corrects you. The Lord corrects those he loves just as a father corrects a child in whom he delights. Our Father, our Heavenly Father, nurtures us. He blesses us. He leads us. He guides us day by day. And it's important that we're willing to be part of that journey, to actually go where God has told us to be. And it's because of his deep love, because of his mercy, because of his grace that he does it. And humanly speaking, it's hard to be thankful when we face difficult circumstances. But it really is a sign of his care that he doesn't leave us as we are, that he destines to change us, to transform us, to conform us to the image of the Lord. Third point, pursuing God's path. Again, Psalm 139, verse 24, but the final parts of it. Lead me along the path of everlasting life. Is there any better path that we could walk along than a path that leads to eternal life? A path that leads to eternity with our Lord and Saviour. A path that leads to us being resurrected with glorious, perfect bodies, free of pain, free of suffering, and beholding our Lord and Saviour face to face for the whole of eternity. King David here, his prayer is to ask God to lead him in the path of eternal significance, the path of purpose. However old or young we are, God has a purpose for us. That's one of the reasons why when we're saved, he doesn't immediately take us to glory. He leaves us here because he's got something for us to do. But so often, perhaps we just seek our will, seek our desire, seek our plan, rather than stepping into the plan that God has for us. King David here, as he concludes this prayer, asks God's guidance, asks God's leading, asks God to be preeminent in all that he does. We should recognize, as David did, that true joy is only found in walking with the Lord, in walking closely with him, in aligning our lives to his will and to his purpose. Friends, we're called to pursue God's path with steadfast devotion, trusting the Holy Spirit to guide us towards abundant life, both now and for eternity. Looking around the room, I know that there are those here that thought that perhaps God was going to let them have an easy old age, a simple retirement, and they've probably discovered that they're far more busy now than they ever were before. Mentioning no names, but, you know, do the math. God has a purpose. And while he gives us breath, and we sang earlier, this is the air I breathe, while he gives us breath, there is something for us to do. And we need to be conscious of our decision to actually step into what God has planned for us. Proverbs 4:18, it's a wonderful proverb. It says, the way of the righteous is like the first gleam of the dawn, which shines ever brighter until the full light of day. Have you ever looked at a sunrise? Have you ever seen the beauty that is painted across the sky? We are beautiful paintings. We are masterpieces in God's sight. We are like that beautiful sunrise, but we are not meant to be, we're not meant to look at it just for ourselves. We are meant to be the light that shines in the darkness. We are meant to be the beacons of hope. We are meant to help others to discover Jesus as Lord and Saviour for themselves. And even in retirement, we can shine brighter than we ever did during our years of normal working when we point people to Christ, when we share the testimony of who he is, the love, the mercy and the grace. There is a song that says, all my life you have been faithful. And when that day that we step into glory, we will say that to our Lord face to face. The truth will be there. It will be evident for us to see because we know he sustains. We know he keeps. We know he blesses. We need to commit to following God wholeheartedly, to trust him on our spiritual journey, to allow him to increasingly illuminate our way, to lead us into that greater level of spiritual maturity. The author here compares the path of righteousness to this illumination of dawn. at night everything is dark, it's difficult to see, but as the dawn breaks, more light comes. And in our own lives, as God reveals more of his light into our darkness, as he reveals more of himself into our lives, we gain a greater clarity and understanding and enlightenment. The journey of righteousness is characterized by our obedient walk. It's characterized by transformation, because transformation should happen from the day when we came to know Jesus as Lord and Saviour until the day he calls us home. As we are obedient to his word, as we follow his guidance, as we allow him to lead us on, he will bless us. He'll keep us. I think the other thing about dawn is it brings a sense of hope, a sense of anticipation for what is still to come. As the light breaks, perhaps we're inspired to do something new, to pursue something different, to trust God for his faithfulness. If you'd listened to the weather forecasters this morning, you would have expected a very sunny day. And the sun came out in the afternoon, but the morning was a bit wet, damp, clammy. God is with us in good weather and bad. When the storms of life come, when difficulties press in and press down, when the winds of adversity come against us, God is still there, leading us, guiding us. As I come to a close, these verses that we've looked at, they highlight essential aspects of our Christian journey. Drawing near to God, embracing his discipline, and walking in the path of righteousness. These verses were meant to remind us of the importance of repentance, of obedience, of wholehearted devotion to our relationship with our Lord. He is wholeheartedly devoted to you and me, and he expects the same from us. So friends, as we respond to these timeless truths this evening, let's ask God to renew us. Let's ask God to help us to grow in our spiritual maturity, and let's develop a greater intimacy with our Lord and our Saviour. May I encourage you to reflect on King David's prayer and follow his example by inviting God to examine you, to search your heart, to embrace his correction and pursue his path for your life. This week, may we cultivate a spirit of humility. May we be open before our God. May we trust him to transform us. And let's commit to that daily surrender, that daily opportunity to spend time worshipping, praising and discovering more about our God. Let's invite him in to search our hearts, to reveal to us where we need to change. And let's be willing to change. Let's be willing to be transformed by the truth of God's word. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you do examine us, that you do search us. And Lord, I pray that you would help us, Lord, to see ourselves through your eyes, to understand, Lord, what it is that you've planned and purposed for each and every one of us, that you would help us, Lord, to step out in faith. Oh, Lord, walk according to your ways and purposes and to truly be transformed. And that you would help us, Lord, to be the people, the catalyst for change in our communities and in our families. Lord, we want to see transformation come as you change hearts and minds and lives, especially as we approach Easter time, when we remember, Lord, that you are the resurrection and the life. We pray, Lord, that in your resurrection power, that you would move once again, that people, Lord, would desire to know more of you, to learn more about you, and to come into relationship with you. Lord, transform this community, transform this country, Lord, we pray. By your power and by your might, that, Lord, there may be many that come to know you for the first time, even at this Easter. And, Lord, that it would be a deep and meaningful relationship that leads, Lord, to salvation and to the assurance of eternal life in you. Bless us, Lord, each one in the week that we face. Go before us. Help us, Lord, to witness, to share your love, to truly be your disciples. And Lord, we ask for the transformation that only you can bring through the power of the Holy Spirit, now and evermore. Amen.